Today what we're going to be looking at, the culmination now, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 19. We saw the hallelujah chorus that was taking place in the heavenly places a couple weeks ago. Now we're seeing the Lord Jesus Christ coming back with all his saints. That's going to be an exciting time. Sad time, bittersweet. But you know, he will rule and reign, and we will rule and reign with him forever. And it's just the beginning. And so we're going to be looking at that wonderful passage here in the book of Revelation. Well, thank you. Thank you for the... And it's true. The Lord can come back at any moment. Now, a lot of times people get some of these things confused. You know, one, the Lord will come back for his church and meet us in the air. He'll come back in the air and the church will be brought up. And that is not the second coming. That is called the rapture. And that is the next, you know, exciting event. We don't know when that's going to, in a moment, in an instant, that can take place. And there's nothing that is in the way of that event taking place. And, you know, I can't help but think as I look at the world, how dark the world is and crumbling of governments, you know, perhaps today, can you imagine? And then we have that terrible time of tribulation, you know, that's going to eventually follow. The rapture church doesn't start it, but it's a peace treaty that starts this terrible 7-year period of tribulation that will come upon the earth. And then at the end of that, then the Lord Jesus Christ will come back, not to the air this time. He will come back to the earth with all of us, all the saints with him. And that's where we're at. We're in Revelation chapter 19, and that's called the second coming. And so I want you to turn, if you will, in your scriptures to Revelation chapter 19. And we discussed part of that last time we were gathering, looking at this, and we looked at the first part of chapter 19, which talks about this heavenly hallelujah that's taking place because the Lord is getting ready to come. His bride, which is the church, is now clothed, and they're getting ready to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find the events taking place here with his second coming beginning in verse 11. You know, I can't help but think the world still thinks everything's going to get better. You know, many of the people in the world, and they don't recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. They have no idea how the unimaginable difficulties that lay ahead. And then on top of that, the further complete rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ is catastrophic. Because it seals their eternal destiny, and we're going to see that. We're seeing the saints that are coming. We're rejoicing because we're going to be with him. He's going to be ruling with righteousness, and he's going to be ruling on this earth, and we're having all those promises and the hopes, and justice is going to be prevailing, and yet it's a tragedy on the planet of those that have rejected him because they're going to be sent into judgment, horrible things will take place. Well, as we get into this passage, there are four sections that we will be looking at. And beginning in verse 11, the first one is you're going to see Christ's return. We're going to be talking about that. The second thing you're going to see is Christ's army, the ones that are going to be returning with him. The third thing you're going to see is then his rule and the way he's going to rule. And then the last thing is going to be the ultimate victory that's going to take place when he comes back here to this earth. And so I just want to open up with verse 11. I'm going to read that. And this is like heaven is opening up now. Christ is getting ready to return. And notice what he says here in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened. Can you imagine how scary that would be for those people on this planet, earth? You know, they're gathering to fight against him, and the heavens open up. It says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, And in righteousness he does judge and make war. And so we're finding the Lord as he's coming back, he's getting ready, and they see him now, and this is as John sees in this vision, Christ riding a white horse. And you got to ask, well, why in the world white horse? And so white, now you have to understand, if you are in battle, in war, a lot of time the general at the time, as everything's just about done, the general would be riding, and he'd ride in, and because everything's going to be settled now. And it's just a symbol of victory. And so here we're finding the victorious Lord, because the earth has been devastated. Remember all those plagues and judgments that came upon the earth? You know, literally decimated. And the final thing is going to take place. Everybody has gathered at Armageddon as the Lord's coming. They're just going to be destroyed in an instant. So he's coming back, and it's a symbol of his victory. I think it's also a symbol of his holiness and his righteousness, because he's coming and he's ruling. This is the righteous king who's coming to deal with all the unrighteousness that's been taking place on the planet. And it has been a horrific period of time, especially during the tribulation period. You know, I can't help but think, I mean, just to see the madness of humanity. I know you've been watching what's happening in Afghanistan and around Kabul and the airport. And I get these downloads and videos of the things, and you can see the depravity of humanity. And it's a tragedy. It breaks my heart as I'm thinking of those poor souls. You know, they're trying to flee, and Taliban's coming in, and they're horrible things. I mean, that is taking place, atrocity. This is madness of mankind. How much greater it's going to be even during the tribulation period. And the Lord's bringing an end to all that. I want you to keep your finger here in Revelation chapter 19. I want you, because we'll come back to that. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24. Because in Matthew chapter 24, he also is describing the second coming. This is the Lord Jesus Christ now that is speaking in Matthew chapter 24. He's describing what it's going to be like when he comes back. And beginning in verse 27, Matthew 24, beginning in verse 27, it says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Well, you know how fast it is when lightning flashes? That's how fast it's going to be when he's going to be coming back, when the heavens open up and he comes back here to this earth. "For whosoever the carcasses is, there will be eagles be gathered together." Whoa, so there's going to be, when he comes back and he judges, there's going to be carcasses everywhere of the enemy that's being destroyed. Verse 29 kind of pigeonholes when this is going to take place. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." And here's the Lord coming back, and the whole world begins to mourn as they're saying, this is the final judgment. It's going to come quickly. So even the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's describing these events as his second coming, this is what we're seeing in Revelation chapter 19. So I want you to go back to our text here, Revelation chapter 19. And so what we saw him, we find him riding on a white horse. The next thing he describes here in verse 11, he gives a name. He says, "And I saw heaven open up, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him," and here's his name. "Him was called Faithful and True." There are four names that we're going to find about the Lord Jesus Christ that are described in this passage in a very short piece. He was called this before. This is the second time we actually find in the book of Revelation where he's called the faithful, he's true. In Revelation chapter 3, he's called the faithful and true witness. Here he's just called the faithful and true. But he's coming back and he's the faithful and true one. He's true to the word of God. Everything that he had said before, it is true. God's word is true. And he's coming again as the lamb, but now as the conquering lion as well, in perfect holiness, and all eyes are beginning to see him. The second thing we can see here, beginning in verse 12, is his appearance when he's coming back. I mean, it's a frightening appearance that takes place in verse 12. It starts off, his eyes were as a flame of fire. I mean, when you say nothing will escape the Lord's sight. When he comes back, he's going to know everything about everyone. And the judgment will be righteous. It's not going to be, oh, collateral damage over here, collateral damage over there. No. He is the one who knows all things. There will be no collateral damage. It will be those that deserve judgment will be judged, and his eyes will see, eyes of fire. Every thought, every motive, every deed are going to be judged when he comes back. He's coming to the earth with a specific purpose to set up his kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness and holiness. And those that have rejected him, horrible things. Second thing we can see about him here in verse 12. He says, on his heads were many crowns. I have a hard time just wearing one head at a time. And so what in the world is this talking about many crowns? You know, crowns represent this royal rank and authority, you know, or the lid or cover, you know, that they wear in the military. And so you can see the rank often. And yet he says crowns. In the ancient world, it's very interesting because this is where John is getting his thoughts and part of the vision so we can understand it. When a conquering king would come in, he had previous battles. And what he would do, he'd collect the crowns of the kings whom he had defeated, and he would have this collection of crowns. Listen, this is the king of what? Kings. And the Lord of lords. And many crowns, many victories. He is the one. No one can defeat him because he is the one that is in control. That's why he wears many crowns. His name, it says right here in verse 12, it's a second name now. Remember, faithful and true is a first name. This name is unique. And he had a name written that no man knew but he. And so a lot of people are saying, what in the world is this name now? I have no idea. But I'll find out when that time comes. No man knew it. But he's going to have a name written that's going to be unique when that day when he comes back here to this earth. And not only that, we find a fourth thing about him when he's coming back. He says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. By the way, that's the third name. First name, faithful and true. Second name, unknown, but it's going to be written at that point that no man knew at that point. And then the Word of God. So three names right in this very short period. You know, this is important. This is his authority. This is the one who's coming back, the faithful and true one. This is the one that you can't even describe. He's so holy and perfect. And then on top of that, he is the Word of God. Which literally helps us understand this is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no mistake who's coming back in this one. And he has his clothes, his vestures were dipped in blood. The blood this time doesn't represent redemption, I don't believe. I think this represents the picture of battle and the judgment that took place. And by the way, he's coming with blood dripped vestures on already before the battle. That means he's had battles before, and this is the final battle that he's coming back to do. And so we have all these things associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is just the Lord's return just beginning. We're finding that something else comes with him. This is the second part. This is Christ's army that comes with him, and this begins here in verse 14. It says, and the armies which were in heaven. Well, let's stop here just for a second. I want you to remember who were the guys that were in heaven. And it, a little earlier on in this passage, we find that, like in verse 8, lo, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean with white. This is the church, part of the army that was there in heaven. This is us. We'll be gathering with them, but now with fine linen. Got to think now, they're going to be going, they're coming back as the army with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you realize that he's the one who's armed? We're going to come unarmed because he'll fight the battle. I find that interesting. So we're going to come in this fine linen, holy now, because we have already been through that bema seat. We've already received our rewards, and we're wearing the robes of righteousness. We're coming back with him in that particular time. That's what it says here. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And so we're coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be a glorious day. You know, this isn't the only place this takes place. I just want you, again, keep your finger here in Revelation chapter 19. You do not have to go back very far. Just before the book of Revelation, there's the book of Jude. So I just want you to go back one book, the book of Jude, because this was also prophesied by a guy by the name of Enoch that is recorded here in the book of Jude. And you can see this beginning in verse 14. It says it, the book of Jude. There's no chapter numbers because this is it. This is the only chapter you got. And notice the quoting that Jude describes here. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh. Who's he coming with? 10,000s of his saints. That's us. So it's not the only place you find something like this. And notice what's going to take place in verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which the ungodly sinners had spoken against him. And so here is a description of the Lord coming back with all his saints. Now, we don't have time, but I could take it to also Zechariah chapter 14, 3 through 9 talks about that. Revelation, Psalm 149, 5 through 9 talks about the same thing. There's another one that was done by Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church of Thessalonica. He says, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before the God, even our Father, at the second coming of Jesus Christ with all his saints. And so multiple places you're going to find that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in his second coming, and I mean the second coming, when he comes back and he places his feet on the planet Earth, he's coming back with us, the saints. What an unbelievable, wonderful thought. As we're going to be coming back, we will be ruling with him forever and ever. It's going to be this magnificent possession of those that will be coming back with him as he sets up his rule on this planet. So we see Christ's return, we see his army. The third thing we see in this passage is Christ's rule, because he's going to rule. So I want you to go back to Revelation chapter 19. If you're not there, again, go back to Revelation chapter 19, because we're finding some powerful images, five of them, you know, of his rule, how he's going to rule. And you can see this in this passage. And beginning in verse 15, we can see the first part. It says, and out of his mouth, or out of the Lord Jesus' mouth, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread the winepress and the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. Several things we can see in this. I'll start off with the sharp sword. Sharp sword goeth out of his mouth. In other words, when he judges, now he's coming back, he's going to do several things in this passage. first thing he's going to do, he's going to judge the earth, those that have been in rebellion against him, and he's going to judge with a sharp sword. And this is what you use when you're going into battle, you know, a sharp, and he that will, and it's coming out of his mouth. I think that's interesting. Why is that? Well, let's go back and let's think about what the Lord did in the beginning of time. Before there was anything, God spoke and he brought all things into existence. When Christ speaks, our author and maker, our creator, speaks, those in rebellion, dead. And so it's this sword is this speaking of his absolute power when he's coming back and he's going to be ruling and reading, ruling and leading us in all these things. He's going to smite the nations. Now, several things that, now notice the text how it reads here, that with it he should smite the nations, and the second thing he's going to do, he shall rule them with iron, a rod of iron. Well, the first thing, the nations that are there in rebellion, he's going to destroy them. That's going to take place. It's going to take instantly, instant slaughter. That's going to take, and we're going to learn more what's going to take place after that slaughter. That's going to take instantly, dead. Those that go into the millennial reign, we're getting a little kind of snapshot of how he's going to rule. And he shall, future tense, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Those that have gone through, and there's going to be not only Jewish believers that will go through that have survived that tribulation period, there will be some Gentiles that have believed, that will be going. They're going to set up Gentile nations that will be in that millennium reign. We're going to talk about that when we get to Revelation chapter 20. They'll also be Jewish. How is he going to rule them then? He shall rule with a rod of iron. He will be in control of all things. And he will be a righteous, he will be a just ruler, he will not be a cruel ruler. But listen, when there is indiscretions in him, he will instantly deal with that. He won't just sit back and go on vacation. He will be dealing with whatever the issue is. He rules with a rod of iron. He also describes the fourth thing, you know, sharp sword, strikes the nation with it. He's going to rule. Fourth thing, he treads with the winepress. In fact, he uses a, kind of a double description here when he describes it here in verse 15. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty. And so it symbolizes two things, but this winepress, you know what happens in a winepress where they put the grapes in there, and then they start crushing it, and I mean that's the wine press, and this is how he's just crushing all the rebellion that's going on. And then he describes it also as the fierceness of his wrath, because he's done with it. I'll tell you, as I sit and I see some of the things happening in the world, and I see suffering of people crying, and you know, after a while, I mean, I'm moved with compassion when I see some of these images, and I trust that you are too. How much more the Lord, our Maker, sees this, and he's seen this generation after generation after generation, the cruelness of the wrath of men, and he says, I'm done. And so when he brings the judgment, he says, this is the end, and it just is describing the end of all these things. And then the last thing describing his rule, it says here in verse 16, he says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. So he's whatever on his garment that he's wearing, as well as on his thigh, doesn't say Nike. It doesn't have the logo like we have. Listen, it's describing who he is. King of kings. The Lord of lords. Nobody is mistaken who this one is when he comes and he rules and reigns. Which leads me to the fourth name. Remember those names, faithful and true. Second name that we found is a name that no one knows at that point until it's revealed. The third name is the Word of God. We know it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's describing him in his incarnation as well as the ruler of all things. And then the last one, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a marvelous thing that we're seeing here. Then finally we come to this Christ's victory. And we can see this beginning in verse 17. And now follow along as I read. I'm going to read from verse 17 to verse 18. It says here, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun." So there's a, like a change up that's taking place. Remember, the Lord's in heaven and heavens open up and so forth. Now he sees another picture. He sees this angel standing in the sun. "And he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowl that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God." So this is the prelude. The Lord's coming back. He's going to bring the great slaughter. An angel is announcing, you know, to all the fowl of the air, come, there's going to be a great supper for all you. Verse 18. "That he may eat the flesh of the kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." Well, we know that the world's army has gathered together. Euphrates had dried up. Kings of the East, a 600 million man army, marches across, and they're going to battle. And we know demonic forces are moving these people to move into this particular area of the world, into not only the Megiddo Valley, but also it is a very long particular area that they're going to be in, where these bodies are going to be strewed throughout. And for at least 70 miles there will be of this valley area where this battle is going to take place. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he's going to speak. They're dead. What do you do with all those bodies? I mean, just the armies of the East, 600 million man army, I mean, that's a lot of people. And others that have come that are to fight against the Lord. Well, he says there's fowl of the air been announced. They're going to come. And a lot of people say, where in the world are all these birds going to come from? Did you know that Israel has a problem with birds? Because all the fowl that are there in Asia as well as in Europe, and they're going to fly down to Africa, do not fly straight across the Mediterranean Sea. They come along and they have migration patterns, and they come all the way down and they fly right along the coast, right through Israel, going down to Africa. And this is an annual thing that takes place. In fact, so many aircraft have crashed in the past. Now they have figured out the heights that these birds fly at, the time that they come. And so now when you're flying into Tel Aviv, if you're flying during those migration periods of time, you know, you're either flying above them or you're flying below them, you know, to get in, because there's so many fowl that actually fly through that area of the world. I suspect, I mean, the Lord can call it at any time, but I suspect this is no problem for the Lord, and there's no problem to gather all the fowl of the air. Boy, they'll have lunch on the way down to Africa. And so this is what he's describing here, and we're seeing the armies of the earth as they're going to be getting destroyed. It's going to be a horrible time. I mean, this is why I say it's bitter, but it's also sweet. It's bitter because, I mean, my heart would, you know, just pain because of people that just resisted and hated the Lord so much, they refused to turn to him. They did not have to have this. They chose this. They chose to be in rebellion. They chose to say, I want to be king of my life, and to reject their creator. That's how they got there. And that, yet for us that have chosen to trust our Lord, we're going to have an eternity with him. Bitter, but also sweet. Verse 19. We also see something else that's taking place here in this. We're finding in verse 19, the false prophet and the beast. Let me read verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, against his army. And the beast was taken. In other words, he's taken. Now the armies are destroyed when he comes back. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them and had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. You know, I picture the victories that took place even in the book of Joshua when he was going in and taking the land, you know what they would do, that the armies would be defeated and then they pull out the kings. You remember in those passages, and at one point he actually had the leaders step on their back of their necks or on their throats, you know, to demonstrate, you know, victory over them, you know. And in this particular case here, the prophet and that beast, the Antichrist, they're kept alive and they're brought. And alive now, people are they're going to be cast alive. They're not going to be killed for it. They're going to cast alive into the lake of fire. I mean, the Lord says, I'm done. And then we find also in verse 21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeds out of his mouth, and all the fowl of the air filled with their flesh. Whew. Heavy passage. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to come back, and he is going to show no mercy when he comes back. Today's the day of grace, and today's the day of mercy. In that day, there will be no more mercy. There will be no more grace. The decisions will have already been made. In fact, the ones that were destroyed took the mark of the beast, and they said, I'm total rebellion. I hate the Lord. And yet that is going to take place. The Lord will show no mercy to all those that have rejected and turned away from him. In fact, turn, if you will, one last passage. I want you to go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 2. I mean, it's one of my favorite psalms. It's speaking of the Lord and of his rule. And it describes the nations also in it. Psalm chapter 2. Notice what he says here. Verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I mean, why is the world in such uproar? I mean, the Lord loves us and has provided things, but it says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, now notice what they say. Let us break their bands as under and cast away their cords from us. In other words, those restraints that God has, he made us this way, and he says, I don't like the way he made it. I'm going to break those bonds that he had. God puts down these regulations of how we're to live a holy life, because he knows how detrimental it is if we don't live that way. And yet they say, I don't like these restraints. I'm going to break them. I'm going to be in total rebellion. I will be the king of my life. I will be the leader of my life. Verse 4 says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. In other words, just think, we're, compared to God, who are we? We're less than dust. And so the Lord's going to have, and he's saying, these guys think that they can live any way they want. I mean, the instant I stop holding everything together, they cease to exist. Then he speaks unto them in his wrath and vexed them with his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Who's the king? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give unto thee the heathen for thy inheritance. And certainly Christ is the one who will rule. and the other parts of the earth for thy possession. He is coming back now as the ruler of all things. Notice he gave Christ the authority. Verse 9, thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Notice the exhortation. While we still have time, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord. Today's the day to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed. Blessed are they all, they that put their trust in him. Blessed are we who place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, because he's coming again. It is a guarantee he is coming again. I don't care what the world says, guaranteed he is coming again, and he will rule and reign. I have chosen to rule and reign with him. Much better place to be. Trust the Lord. Why don't we pray? Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the riches that you've given us in Jesus Christ. Thank you even for this description we have of your second coming.